Wow. Wonderful track from back in the day. Did you do that at Studio 54? Was that the one where you went out on the walkway? Was that the track you did there? Wow.
Yeah, but that's the very first track that I, that's the one that my husband Frank, now his second husband, we actually produced that record. That was the very first time I ever produced a record all by myself.
Wow.
And
wow,
that was very exciting. And I wasn't planning on doing it. He made me do it. I didn't think I could do it. But we had hired a producer, and we didn't like what it sounded like. He looked at me, and he said, "You're going to produce this record." I go, "I don't know how to produce a record." He goes, "Yes, you do. Go do it."
And you ended up at Studio 54. And apparently the crowd went wild.
And then we ended up there Christmas Eve and Christmas night. And I'm thinking, who is going to go out? And it was...
Oh, everybody. Yeah, I should think so. Amazing experience. Do you remember what you're wearing? Is that photographically etched in your mind, the entire scenario there?
Well, you know what? I must have played there about 7 or 8 times. So I'm thinking, what was my first outfit? Oh, God, I hope it wasn't the red one.
Well, I'm told that you could fit in a lot of the clothes very easily that you used to wear back in those days, and you could still do disco in them. Did I get that right?
Well, let me tell you. Now, after I just turned Weight Watchers, yes. I always say before I do coming in hiding, I always say 20 years and 20 pounds ago.
Pamela, the job offers. The job offers keep coming in for you, Pamela. There's an additional email here from Ernest Cole. Ernest says that he's listening to you on the show, and he says, "How are you, Pam? Do you remember you almost produced my first record when I was a kid?" And he says, "My next album's going to be a duet after the one I'm currently working on and recording." And he's asking, "Would you do me the honor of being one of the many great stars doing a duet with me?" He's saying that Paul Goodyear said he would produce the track with Elliot Sokolov, and he said it would be hot and that he loves us both. What do you think about that, Pamela?
I love it. You know what? Ernest is so cute. We were going to do something. I don't even know what happened, why we didn't get to finish that. I don't know. I'm trying to think. But you know what? We have bumped into each other online, and he is such a doll. I would love to do something with Ernest.
Well, Ernest,
wouldn't that be great?
Absolute sweetheart. He's been on the show several times. We always enjoy his stories. You know, he played Frankenfurter, I believe, in on Broadway or slightly off Broadway and back in the day in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Did you know that detail?
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's an amazing story. You never know what he's gonna say to you next. Well, we'll look forward to you coming on with Ernest Cole after you guys do a new track.
Okay. Oh, my God, that would be so cool.
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be delightful. I want you to tell us about your son watching Sesame Street in the limo.
Oh. Well, you know, it was so funny because 82, I had just had a baby in October. And then I got called to do a job in November. In Dallas, and we were living in Dallas at the time, and that's where we did I don't want to talk about it, we produced it there, and with really great guys named Ray Hilsendegger and David. Ray and David, Ray Cooper and David Hilsendegger, and they owned a thing called Oaklawn Records. Well, anyway, they called us to do a job. We do this job, and my husband sees me on stage, and I had stopped singing for a while because I got married and I had a baby, and he looked at me and he said, "You are not going to be a housewife. You are going to sing. That's what you're supposed to do." And he kind of forced me to. He said, "We're going to make a record." And that's how we did I Don't Want to Talk About It, was because of that. So, well, then Frankie, when I Don't Want to Talk About It actually came out, Frankie was like 8 or 9 months old. I had to go on the road. So for the next 3 years, I just took Frankie with me everywhere I went. So what would happen is we just was raised on airplanes and limos. So we'd be going all the way to the airport.
Yeah, 5.5 years at FSU, and now he's on Wall Street. I mean, it didn't hurt him at all.
Oh, he is the most well-adjusted person. I mean, he has been well-traveled. He's met Bette Midler. He I mean, I have a picture of him on one of the parades that I did. You remember Balky from the show Cousins or something? Remember that show where he talked real far? I don't forget his name. Look at me. Anyway, he's got pictures of people that he just traveled. But anyway, he would watch Sesame Street on the way to the airport. He'd be like, come on, Mommy, the Sesame Street. So he'd put it on in the limo. He would watch it. He thought everybody grew. He said he didn't know that everybody didn't really grow up like that. He went to Vegas one time. He said he felt really bad because he went to Vegas with his college buddies. And they met people, and every time somebody had a story, Frankie had a story that was better, and he didn't mean to be. But it's just that his life has been very exciting. He said, Mom, I didn't realize that.
Huh? I was going to say the chat room tells you that that program was Perfect Strangers that you're referring to.
Perfect Strangers, that's it.
Yeah. The chat room keeps
thank God for
the
other
line.
People.
Exactly. They can't expect us to remember everything.
They keep me in line. I am the busiest one.
What a great story. So you're still close. You and your son are still close. And what a remarkable experience growing for him to grow up with you in that spotlight. I mean, what a great thing to have a mom and to have all those, a mom that had those experiences and be able to share those things. Remarkable.
We are really close. In fact, my mother-in-law sits us at opposite ends of the table because everybody goes, we don't like when you sit next to each other because all you do is check, 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 that we just love to see each other.
That's remarkable. What a wonderful story. Pamela, I want you to tell us about summertime. I before the evening's out, I would love for them to hear that. Now that is a remarkable track and very, very different from the music that they've just heard. And it's from your CD, I believe, called what is it, Cookin' or what was it?
No,
CD
that
called?
One's called. It's a. Well, which summertime are you playing? I'm singing it.
Yes, you're singing Summertime, and Glenn did an edit for me, and it says it's from a CD. There's a paren on it that's called Cookin'. Let's see, I'm looking for the title here.
One was called Live and Cookin', but that's the CD. That's CD I did with that New Orleans band. I don't know if you're going to be playing the one where she's playing violin on it, or I recorded it twice. I did it a jazz version on my It's All in the Game CD, which is all jazz classics. Me singing Bye Bye Blackbird, Where or When, Someone to Watch Over Me, What a Wonderful World. I did all those kind of jazz classics, Moonlight in Vermont, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans. It's a beautiful, if you want a glass of wine and you just put it in the background, and it is such a lovely, I'm really proud of that record, and I recorded it with this man named Eddie Higgins. Eddie Higgins played with Nancy Wilson and I can't even think of all the, he's in his 70s now and he's been playing since he was 20 and he's very, very well known in the jazz world. So I did the CD with him. And if you're going to do this, where I'm singing all the time when it's on the game, if you're going to do violin and I only sing four lines, then it's Live and Cooking. Because when I got this violinist, I said to her, you should play the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know which one you're playing.
I don't either. It's something that was new to me that Glenn has sent along, but I'm looking forward to your telling us about it after we hear the track. You'll know more about which version it was. Because I've got to tell you, growing up in the South, I know my summer times, and this is one hell of a summertime. Bob, roll the track, please.
Oh, your daddy's red.
Pamela, wow. Can you see? I've got to tell you, that melts me. That's stunning.
Thank you. You know, now that's the only section I sing in. That particular one is off the Live and Cooking, is the CD I had with that. That was me singing live.
Wow.
That was a live CD I did with this band, and it's only available on iTunes. I have all my songs are on iTunes. I think I have 62 songs
wow.
on iTunes.
Yeah.
And that particular song is Summertime. And that's the one with the violinist I told you about with the ballerina. Oh, she's just amazing. Her name is Randy Fischenfeld. And if you think that section is good, you want to hear all the violin work she does in that song. It's really her song, and it's funny he cut out the one section I sang. But that is a really good, and I have to tell you, that is my arrangement of it. I have to take credit for that one. I don't know why I even got that arrangement. You know, I learn a song, I have no clue what's going to happen. I always say, I just start learning, and then my soul takes over. I learn a song like I think it's supposed to be this way, and then 3 months later it sounds like a totally different song, but I didn't know that I changed it. I didn't even know when it happened. But something takes over. All my songs change. It's really
wonderful.
Interesting. I feel like I'm a channel, and I'm just sitting here.
Yeah.
And the music just comes through me. I just love it.
Yeah, a really talented person, that the subconscious works on the music all the time, and great ideas just appear as if by magic. It's a gift, Pamela, and you're very, very good at it. Great,
thank you. I'm so glad you played that one because, she said, I just saw her a few weeks ago. I was in Florida, in South Florida, and I surprised her, and she still has a band going. In fact, she's the violinist that they'll bring, like, if big acts come through and they need a violinist, she's the one they always call. And she played with Air Supply and all these people.
Really? And this is the person who stood on your piano? This is the same person?
Yes, that's the girl. You know, when I saw her last week, I thought, I'm not done with her yet. I will use her again, and she will do a show with me again. Her and I together on stage, like, I'm good, and she's good. But when we get together, it is, I can't even explain it to you. There is an electricity that happens when the two of our energies get together. She's just an amazing woman. Very bright woman. Crazy, but bright.
And she's still in South Florida, then, is she?
She's in South Florida. If you want to see her, her band is called Blue Fire. If you live in the Fort Lauderdale area, look for Randy, the violinist, but the band is called Blue Fire. And I just saw them a few weeks ago with my son. My son and I were down there together. And she is better than ever. Better than ever.
It was a great reunion. You guys probably had a great time reminiscing.
Oh, my God. She was so surprised to see me because I've been gone for so many years. Because I left Florida 5 years ago. I started really going on the road. 2003 is when I started doing cruise ships. I started leaving and then doing Europe and South America. Oh, I played Greece so many times. It's a blast. Mykonos on the island of Mykonos.
Yeah.
What a time. It's incredible. You go to the little store and you buy your meat, and you go to the vegetable store. Like you live in apartments. They have no screens. I mean, like when you open your window, it's open. And you feel like you're living in an apartment from 1940. Like I had two burners. It was a hot plate with two burners in my apartment.
Wow. What a great
Mykonos is a great. People don't go to dinner till 11 o'clock.
They don't. Imagine that. Most people in my neck of the woods are in bed at 11 o'clock.
I'm telling you, it's totally different over there.
Wow.
It's a great place. Yeah, it's a place called Mons Parnasse. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll talk and talk.
No, please do. Please do. In fact, we've had a comment that they're thrilled to hear about the Greek islands. As a matter of fact, so go for it.
They've been there?
There's a comment, the Greek islands, what a dream.
Oh, it is. It is. It is so fantastic. It's like going back in time, but yet they're modern. And the food is scrumptious.
I bet.
It's a tomato. You know?
What time of year were you there?
I usually play this. There's a place called Montparnasse, and it's a great club in Mykonos, and I usually play there Septembers. Every September, I did it June, July, and then I did it last three Septembers. Now, this year, I can't go. I feel terrible that I can't make it, but I have other obligations I have to do this September. So I won't get to go this year, but I'll go again next year.
Pamela, there's a story about you that I came across today. You were playing in San Francisco, and apparently there was a fabulous drag queen on the dance floor at the Dreamland.
Gorgeous drag queen.
Tell us this story, because this person is dear to me.
Well, I'm on the stage, and I'm looking down, and Dreamland was a fantastic disco in San Francisco, and it had this kind of wrap, kind of like a stairway, but it was also more like a ramp, and it was just really beautiful. And I saw this drag queen down there, and I tried to pull this drag queen up on the stage, and he wouldn't come up. And I said, "Well, come on, come on." And he looks at me and goes, "Pamela, leave me alone. It's Sylvester." Sylvester.
As some of our listeners haven't been properly introduced to Sylvester, tell us about Sylvester. Of course, many of us know, but some of the listeners don't know who Sylvester is.
What a fantastic entertainer. Sylvester had the biggest heart. He was fun and warm and sweet, and he really was a pretty woman when he dressed up as a woman. And he and Paul Parker and I were really close friends, and every time I go to San Francisco, we would always hang out at the nightclubs together. He just was a really great, what a talent. And it was so sad. And when he got sick, you know, Paul took care of him till he died. Paul Parker.
I see.
Nursed him until he died. I'm talking carrying him around. Paul was a trained nurse before he became in the disco world. Paul Parker is probably one of my, I can't tell you how much I admire and love that man. And what a voice.
Yes, Paul has been a guest, and I've got to tell you, he was a huge hit. The listeners loved him. What an engaging person, and of course, the music is wonderful. And you're about to do some more work with him, and we have a track, an older track that you had done with him, running around in circles, which we can run in just a minute. But tell us about maybe some more detail about what you're about to do with Paul.
Well, a few years ago, I was out there for a week with him in November. I went and visited him, and we started working on a bunch of stuff. He said, "Pam, I've written some things, you know, and I don't think they're for me. I think they're for you." And so we spent a week, and I must have gone through maybe 7 songs I put down vocals for, the stuff that he wrote. And I'm telling you, they're wonderful. Well, we started to put them, but he's limited. He's a self-taught player also, just like I am. So we get limited. We have to hire musicians and do different things. Well, he got busy, and we tried to work with a couple of different producers, but they just didn't get the tracks the way we wanted them. And I don't release stuff if it's not wonderful anymore. You know, I don't do that. And so what happened was, it's just kind of been put in the back burner. We've been looking for the right guy to come along and finish these two projects with us, because both of us feel that at this time in our musical careers, we need someone younger that's really in it. You know, it's almost like each generation is born with a certain innate ability to handle that decade. You know what I mean? So we were looking for someone that that's just maybe in his 30s, early 30s or something. Well, we ended up meeting Paul Goodyear, and when I met Paul on the cruise ship, I didn't know he was working with Paul Parker. I meet Paul Goodyear, and we fall in love, and then I find out he's working with Paul Parker. So then now he is moving to San Francisco, and now he and Paul are going to get to come out there, and I'll get to finish it with them. So I'm real excited, and the track that I really want to do is one that he wrote called, we're calling it, "Everybody Get on the Floor." We don't know what to call it. I don't know if it's called dance to the music. It goes, you know, everybody get on the phone and dance to the music. Come on, everybody. I mean, it's just like really up-tempo and powerful. And I'm waiting to do the song. I've been waiting for 4 years to do this.
Bless your heart.
And I'm telling you, I have shopped it to different people. I've tried to get them interested. And they will go, oh, that's really good. That's good. And I don't hear from them, or they get busy. And if so I just know that the timing must not have been right. And it'll come out when it's right. But I'm hoping it's this year. I really am.
Well, I hope so, too, Pamela. Pamela, tell us about the... Tell us about the Paul Parker track that we have loaded in the queue, Running Around in Circles. How did that song come about, and what was the time, and what was the adventure with doing that with Paul?
Let's see. Paul had written that song, and he was working with Ian out of England. And so he said to me, did I record it in San Francisco, Florida? He came to Florida, and he said, Pam, you just got to do this track with me. Please do this track with me. And there were two of them. We did both Stranger in a Strange Land and Run Around a Circle at the same weekend. And so I tell you the truth, I think I was in San Francisco. I think we talked about it in Florida. I ended up in San Francisco. And we went in and recorded all the tracks in San Francisco over a weekend. And then those tracks were sent to England, and then Ian mixed these two. So, and then it was put out on TSR Records, because I was already on TSR Records, and I think he had also produced a couple of Paul's tracks on TSR Records, so he wanted to pair us up because we were always booked together. People loved Paul and I on stage together because Paul has a shy demeanor on stage, and I'm the opposite. Huh. And so when you put us together on stage, we got the best out in each other. So we were constantly booked together.
Wow.
In Chicago, man. So anyway, so this is the track of that. And so when I came out with this, I called Paul. I said, Paul, I'm putting these two tracks on, okay? He's going, yeah, thanks. And I called TSR Records, said, can I have the rights to use this track? So Tom Hayden is a wonderful man. I have to thank Tom Hayden for my career, too, TSR Records. He's a great man.
Yeah, I would
like to
have
some really great people come through.
Yeah.
Huh?
I would love to have him on the show at some point, Paul Hayden. You know, there's so many wonderful people that, you know, it would take 100 years. It would take 6 shows just to for you to tell all your stories. You know, it's going to take a long time to get through all these wonderful people. And,
you know, if you want Tom Hayden, I can contact him. And, he did Hazel Dean. He did Miguel. You know, so many men. He did her. There's a lot of people that he brought to the U.S.
Well, we would
you would probably
to
like him on your show.
I probably would. He sounds like my kind of guy. I believe Bob has running around in circles queued up. Now, this is Pamela Stanley with Paul Parker, and Glenn Rivera has edited this down for us. This is about 1986, isn't it, Pamela?
Running Around in Circles was, yeah, around then. Somewhere from 80 to 88, maybe it was somewhere in there. I'd say that. Yeah, that's what I'm good. I can't remember.
Listeners are looking forward to this one because they now know you and they've met Paul Parker on the show too. So let's run this one then. Bob, run the track called Running Around in Circles, please. I have to tell you that one of our chatters in the chat room, ELO, has located a picture of you with Paul Parker and has posted it. We're, many of us are looking at it as we speak. You're wearing a headband. So it's like a, sort of a Jimi Hendrix. This is priceless. And Paul is standing next to you doing the Paul Parker thing, which is always fabulous. You guys just look like you're having a great time. This is at on DJ's portal. Do you remember that picture being taken?
I absolutely remember the picture. The headband is blue and black. Let's get physical. Everybody's spandex.
That's how you look. You look just like her there. I mean, you've got her whole look. I mean, it's totally written on your face. it's such a great picture, the two of you together. Do you recall the event? What were you guys doing?
Let's see. Where was that? That was either in Florida or it was either in Chicago. That might have been Chicago.
A radio poster behind you two. It looks like W something NT.
Oh, that's Boston. Was it WT? Oh. That's Boston. I'm sorry. That's Boston. WTN or something?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
That's Paul Boston. Parker's.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's right. We used to play Boston a lot. I'm telling you, the Northeast, California, the Midwest actually was really big, and Florida was huge, like from Georgia down. I'd say Chicago area, those are the big ones. And Texas, naturally, because that's where I was living at the time. But we went everywhere. Oh, gosh, Paul and I were always together. a couple.
Is that a fact? And what a sweet couple you would make. I mean, honestly, the picture is just priceless.
You know, I can't tell you, I don't know what it is about our personality. We just, from the minute we met, we just loved each other. I just love that man. He just is, the way his face looks is really how he is. That's sweet. And he's so handsome.
Yes, so handsome. But he looks like a sweetheart at the same time. He's not the sort of inaccessible handsome that some people are. He looks like there's a real person in there, too.
I don't think he ever realized he was gorgeous. He said he didn't even know it.
The chat room sure loves him. I mean, every time Paul Parker's name comes up, there are people commenting, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, and not only that, he had so many records out. I mean, I did not even realize at one time. When you know, I'm his friend, I had no clue he had that much out. That guy is a record machine. And I'll tell you what else he's done. You don't realize, do you know that he's written a play, a musical?
You're kidding. I had no idea.
No. He sent me all this stuff we were going to start working on, and he put it aside. I don't know why. He's written a musical. I mean, this is a talented man. And I really feel he's underrated. I mean, he's just as great. And my brother's another one. My brother is an amazing, you know, he wrote I Don't Want to Talk About It. He wrote Coming Out of Hiding. He's just a great writer.
Well, now that's true. You know, in fact, I meant to go there earlier in the show, and forgive me, I neglected to do that. He wrote a lot of your early work. It was very successful work.
Yeah, he is just. James has been writing, like I told you, he got that ukulele in his 12th, and he started writing. And my brother, to this day, I mean, he will record other people's CDs, but my brother has made a living at only doing his music, his albums, and when he goes and does shows all over the place, it's only his stuff. Well, see, I mix mine up. I do everything. But James is strictly, and he's a very funny man. He's another talent. I mean, he's going to be, he tours all over. You know, you can look on his website, James Lee Stanley. He also was one of the Klingons on, I think that's what they called him, on this Star Trek, one of the Star Trek, he was on that all the time.
He was a Klingon? That's priceless. My brother was a Klingon. That's pretty scary right there.
I mean, my brother is into that Star Trek thing. I mean, he is so into it. He goes to the convention. He went to the convention. He just loves it. I mean, he's not a nun. He doesn't do that thing. I mean, he doesn't walk around with a hand thing on. But I mean, he's not overly, but he does like it. And he's an avid reader. My brother, his vocabulary is huge. That's why he's such a good writer, because sometimes I say to him, I mean, I don't even know what he's talking about, and he's talking English. He's very intelligent.
Now, this was the brother with the ukulele. Was he the one with the ukulele?
Yeah.
So he actually had an influence in teaching you guys to sing in harmony, right? That was what he was after?
He is a major influence. He's a major influence. When I was afraid and I was just going to start college before I moved to New York, I was going to college, and he encouraged me to go out and get a piano bar job because I was trying to go to college and work at a men's clothing store, and I poured champagne on Sundays, and I worked at a health spa. I mean, all I was doing, and he said, Pamela, what are you doing? And he goes, this is another story. Are you ready for this? He goes, go get a job at the piano bar. I go, James, I just played by ear. You know, I don't really know. So he said, learn some songs and go audition. So I learned 9 songs. I go and audition, and damn, if I didn't get the first job I tried, and they wanted me next week. Well, I already knew 9 songs, and I had a job starting the next Friday, or the next Saturday. So I go, what am I going to do? So I come home, James, I got the job, and I have to sing, and I don't. He goes, don't worry. You go ahead and learn as many songs as you can, and then I'll show up in the middle of your set, and then I'll do an hour as a guest appearance, and then you just finish the night, and you'll look fantastic. I go, oh, James, you're the best big brother anybody could ask.
So, I sound like.
I'm working at the health club that day, and I hear over the loudspeaker, a Pamela Stanley, pick up line 2, line 2. So I go over there going, hello. And there's a girl going, hello. I'm at the hospital with your brother. He has hurt his back, and we're at the hospital. And here's what I say. Can he sing?
Oh, my stars. You're a driven woman. Can he sing?
Can
what
he
a
sing?
Great story to tell.
Well, he couldn't sing, and I was forced. I only knew 20 songs, and I was forced to go. You know what? I made it through that night, and from then on, I always had piano bar to fall back on. So I have to tell you, sometimes I will do piano bar off and on through my life. Whenever I want to, like, focus, it just gets me back. It's like my Tara. I go back to Tara, and I play piano to this day. I play piano here. Play piano and sing. I do stand-up.
Wow.
I do singing. I do it with tracks. I love playing piano and singing.
I'll be
so
darned.
Anyway, that was, he's just been a big influence on me. He told
now,
me
was
to
it
write.
Your grandfather? Was it your grandfather that taught you to play the piano?
You know, I listened to him play, and I started, my daddy actually worked with me, but I play by ear. I'm not really a trained pianist. I can play what I hear. Like, if you play me a song, I can play it.
I've come to believe that some of the best musicians do exactly what you're saying. They play by ear.
Yeah, but I wish I had trained, too, because I feel that there was a lot more in there that I could have gotten out if I knew how to. Because I'm limited to my, they call it your chops. You know, because when people are classically trained, they just can really do so much more than I can. But I'm fine on the piano. I mean, I've played on, well, all the stuff that you hear, like Coming Out of Hiding, and I Don't Want to Talk About It, all the lines that you hear, I've made up. I would play them, and then I'd have a real musician come in and play it right. You know what I mean? I think I'm up.
Yeah.
But I use real musicians.
Hiding. Yeah. Well, Coming Out of Hiding, that was back in 83. That was during the period of time I was DJing during the early 80s, and I remember quite well playing the track Coming Out of Hiding, and you did most of the lines in Coming Out of Hiding, or I'm sorry, I've lost. Did your brother do that song too?
My brother wrote the music, and you know he wrote the chords and he wrote. But as far as any line that you like or something, I labor it over.
There are some wonderful lines. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, do you know how I did that? I had two cassette players, and I would play at my piano, and I'd play the line, and then I would put the cassette in the thing, and then I'd get another cassette, and I would play that, record while I played that other, and I'd play another line, and I would keep hearing back until I liked what I liked. You know what? That's not true. I don't want to talk about it. I did that way. By the time Coming Out of Hiding come, I'd had the Oberheim system, and I had an Oberheim drum machine, and I had the synthesizer, and that's how I did that song. Yeah, with an 8-track.
Yeah. Well, I'd love for
but,
that.
But I mean,
then
I went into the big studio.
There's some wonderful lines in this. This is if I'm not mistaken. This is the track that has the. I'm going to pull the wool off. Is that the line from this track? I'm going to pull the wool off from my eyes or something like that. What is the line? It's been so many.
Oh, that's If Looks Could Kill. I'm pulling the
right.
Wool
that's
from
yes,
my
yes.
eyes.
Yes,
that's
yes,
If Looks
yes.
Could Kill.
How did that track make it into the...
I didn't write that one.
How did that track, by the way, make it into the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? What was that, Raw something? Raw?
Raw Deal. They called me, Orion Pictures. They just heard the song, and I guess they thought it was perfect for the movie, and they called me and said, could we use that? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they did. I was thrilled. That was the first time I ever had a song in a movie.
Yeah,
and, you know, I was
you've
so...
Had more.
Yeah. What?
You've had other songs in movies? Is this?
Yes, I wrote a song called Where Do Nice Girls Go to Meet Men with this other woman, and it was in a movie called Across the Tracks. And then I had one more. Isn't this terrible? What song did they use?
You know, Pamela, I've got to say,
movie.
You know. That's just amazing to me. You know, I'm speaking with somebody who's trying to remember which song was in which movie. I mean, it's just you're just blowing me away here. That's, let's see which movie.
You know, after a while, but I want to tell you, after a while, like, oh, I had This Is Hot was in a porno movie.
Oh, you're
kidding
me.
I didn't know that for a while, yes. I used This Is Hot in a porno film, but I didn't get paid for that. Not even
oh,
any toys.
You know, Man Parrish was on the show, and they used some of his music, I believe, in porn flicks.
I know
too,
him,
told
yeah.
Us yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like to run Coming Out of Hiding, because there's some great lines in it, and you wrote them. I'd love to run it, if that's okay with you.
Oh, good, sure.
Okay, great. Look, Bob, roll the Coming Out of Hiding track, please. Bring back such wonderful memories. I can visually, very clearly, in my mind, see that record label rotating on the turntable as I played these very tracks in gay clubs up in the Pacific Northwest, the Portland area. I can literally see the labels to this very day. These songs, they bring out memories of the crowds and the experiences and the times, but also there's always a very vivid image of the label rotating. It's so funny. That's what DJs, I mean, that's what we look at a lot. We look at the labels a lot going around. And so I so clearly remember that. Pamela, these, of course, were huge hits, and Billboard charted them. So they must have been, you know, so many of the high-energy dance tracks were huge hits in the gay clubs, but these definitely had to cross over to be in Billboard. So these were big hits in the straight clubs, too?
Yeah. Yeah, I would go to a city, and I would play one gay club and one straight club almost every weekend. Or else I would do sometimes three cities in a weekend, but always I did mixture of gay and straight. But the gay community stays loyal. If they love you, they love you. And they don't, they're happier if you have a major hit, but they're still going to come and see you, even if it wasn't, if you don't have something right now. With the straight crowd, they forget.
That's brilliant. You know, we are very nostalgic people. You know, we're like an elephant, like Horton hears a who. We elephants never forget.
<That's right>.
We truly.
You're from the Portland area?
I lived in Portland from the very late 70s all the way through about 87, about 6 or 8 years I lived in Portland, and I DJed there at gay clubs in Portland, and I had a wonderful
gay club in Portland. I was there in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which one? Was it the Embers by any chance? The
that
Embers was a
very
huge...
familiar.
Yeah, was it like a huge warehouse?
It was warehouse? In the 80s. I played Seattle and Portland.
I'll
at
be
the same
gone.
Time, and I loved Portland.
I did,
water fountains on the street corners.
I know it. The city is just stunning. And such fond memories, yeah. Back in the 80s, there was the Family Zoo, and there was Ray's Ordinary, and then there was the Embers, and let's see, there was C.C. Slaughter's, and, you know, just a long list. But you probably were in the Embers, because that's a fairly large venue, and that's probably where you were, the Embers there. Yeah.
A great time.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. Well, you know, I spend hours. And still the music brings back such fond memories. And it's wonderful. You know, we had a fellow on the show who lives in Canada. He's a young fellow, probably about your son's age. I think he's in his 20s. And he's a huge archivist. And he's of all the music from that period of time. And it's I believe the site is Tommy's Disco. It was a guess. I don't have it in front of me. But it's interesting to me that there are a lot of people who just still continue to love this music, and you know, so much of it is sampled and used over and over again, even today.
I know. It's incredible. Yeah. It is incredible. You know, this is something, you know, when you think about it, we were making this music back there in the 80s, like. Look, I didn't know that. You would not believe the emails that I get from people that tell me that it was a major influence on their life, or they came out to it, or they had been through a divorce and this was what got them through. And, you know, you don't realize. I mean, you're making the music, and it's absolutely amazing to think that something that you worked on or created with someone else, that it's touching all these people's lives. It blows my mind. It brings tears to my eyes. I save them. They're just amazing emails from people all over the world. Not just, I mean, and I didn't know that it went that big.
Well,
I really wasn't aware that that went that big.
Oh, Pamela, it's huge. I mean, you're a legend. Pamela Stanley, Hazel Dean, Jessica Williams, you know,
Williams,
I know. There are people that are just immortal. And thank goodness you guys came along during the era where, you know, recordings, I mean, you know, it was vinyl and what have you and real tape, but nonetheless, there was stunning audio quality back then. And thank goodness you guys came along, you know, prior to, you know, after they were, you know, 78s and, you know, the really bad Fidelity music. I'm just, it's one, those were great
yeah.
days to be in that venue.
It really was.
Pamela, would you take a moment to tell us about what's your other projects might be for the future? I noticed you have a track on your MySpace page that plays called Survive. What is going on with some of the newer tracks that I see on the MySpace page?
Well, you know, I've kind of mixed the new ones that I got, the new ones, but this Survive song came to me from a man. This guy, you know, I meant to ask him if I was allowed to tell this story, so I'm going to be vague, if that's okay.
Sure.
I met a wonderful gentleman that worked in the A&R department of the Christian field. And anyway, he ended up leaving the Christian field, struggling with personal problems that he couldn't stay in that area because, I meant to ask Nick if I could tell this story. I'm going to have to leave it. What I'm going to tell you is this is about anyone that is surviving from either being in the closet, overcoming cancer, overcoming a difficult situation, anything that's really, really difficult in your life. He wrote this at a very painful time in his life. So when I heard this song, he sent it to me as a ballad and he wanted me to sing it. But when I heard it, I said, oh no, Nick, this is not a ballad, honey. This is one of those anthem songs that give people power. So I took it to this young producer, and I said, this is what I want to do with it. I want to make it an anthem. So now what's happened is Susan G. Komen, it just started in Pittsburgh, but they're starting to use this song as the opening song for the breast cancer Race for the Cure. And
wow.
So what I've been doing now is I'm working now with each city to get it going. And then if I'm not booked, I will go there and sing it. I sing it as the opening live for the people. So this has just been starting in the last month, so it's very new. But this song is the song that I'm so in love with, and I don't know if we can make it into a dance tune. It's a little too slow for a dance and too fast. You know, it's like one of the other, it's not in the right beat for dance music, but I don't know if we can make it a dance tune. But this is the song that I love, and my new album is pop, kind of New Orleans jazzy, no, New Orleans blues. I'd say it's more boogie blues and pop.
Wow.
New CD I have out. It just came out a little while ago, Seasons of My Heart. And
I see.
Songs I've written over the last few years, like the last 10 or 15 years, that were special to me. And I decided it was time to do an album of stuff I wrote.
Wow.
And I either wrote it by myself or with this girlfriend named Cindy Cowan, or those are the two. And then I use one of my brothers, and I use Nick's track, and I have a couple others. But Survive is one of those that just touches my heart.
Wonderful. Well, Pamela, I'm sorry to say that it's late enough in the program that that there won't be quite time to run it, but what I will do is run that song tomorrow evening as one of our go-to-break tracks, and I'll retell this story. You know, and as we said earlier, we could spend so much time because your career is so broad and all the stuff you do. You've been an absolutely remarkable guest, and certainly I appreciate your coming on the show very much, and would love to have you back again. Maybe you and Paul Parker together. That might be fun.
That sounds wonderful. And I thank all the viewers. Thank you for listening and coming. And thank you. I really appreciate it. I would love to do some with Paul. And I would imagine that what would be really good is in September I'm going to be out there anyway, or October. Maybe you can get us when we're in the middle of producing this song. We can do a radio interview right from the studio.
That would be a hoot.
Goodyear and Paul Parker.
And don't forget you have an upcoming hit coming out with Ernest Cole, too.
Ernest Cole, Ernest! That's right.
You're a very, very, very busy person. Pamela, God bless you, sweetheart. You're just a remarkable guest, and I thank Glenn also for inviting you onto the show. Glenn has been a huge help to the show in booking
music.
We call him We call him the executive director of musical talent. So we appreciate it very much. And
Pamela,
thank
you,
Glenn. I'll have to wrap it and say goodnight. We're pushing the end of the envelope and the automatic recorders,
okay.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I'll be in touch and make sure you have a copy of the and please bear in mind we'd love to have you back, Pam.
Okay, I'd love to come back. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good evening, Pamela. And, folks, that was Pamela Stanley, an amazing woman with an amazing story and amazing accomplishments, and she just blew me away. And, you know, I still remember her record labels going round and round and round.